thanks very much, by the way, to Trish Gilbert, who is here with us now in the studio. Trish is the Executive Vice President for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. So, Trish, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Welcome to our program. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Now, NATCA was certainly interested in and involved with the possibility, as it has appeared over the last couple of years, that air traffic control might end up being privatized by law. And so I had read that NATCA was working pretty closely with the FAA, trying to work out a workable plan for that. And so now we have an FAA authorization bill that puts a certain set of patterns in place until the end of fiscal year 2017. What now should we expect around this whole idea of air traffic control privatization?
So before I answer that question, if I could just explain NACA's position pretty quickly. It's not a pro or against privatization as a concept. What the conversation is around the uncertain funding with regard to what Congress appropriates for the FAA, and then as well as the authorization bills over the last several years have been multi-extensions, as you're well aware of, that status quo has been uncomfortable for the system as a whole. Certainly the people that control the planes that fly through the system have seen a lot of uncertainty around whether they'll be at work because of furloughs, equipment outages that aren't being able to be maintained, infrastructure that's not being able to be replaced or maintained. And so the uncertainty has created a dialogue to what reform might look like. And that's what we've been a proponent of change that makes sense, change that grows aviation in this country, and not any status quo that reduces the amount of planes that can fly through the system. We dealt with 2013, the possibility of shutting down 238 air traffic control towers, both private and FAA, and always looking at reducing the footprint in this country, and we don't want to see that. We want to see it grow. So the dialogue is strong about reform. We have been very clear that we want to be a party to any of that dialogue, especially if it makes sense. And from our position, the Schuster bill, the AIR Act, made sense. It had a lot of certainty in it around funding. It certainly left access to general aviation because they would continue to pay via the fuel tax, and then instituted a user fee for business aviation and commercial aviation, different from how we fund the system today through the appropriations process. So that dialogue has been very strong and robust. Now that we have an FAA reauthorization extension that just passed just a couple Fridays ago, the July 15th, There's a time to breathe a little bit and everybody, I think, to regroup and figure out what reform might look like. But I think the dialogue is certainly going to continue into the next Congress.
Yeah, Trish, if I just listen to how you're describing this, it sounds like you have a general level of satisfaction with the progress, but certainly the work's not done. So what are your next steps?
Our next steps is to see if we can be advocates to help facilitate some consensus around the aviation community and what everybody is comfortable in with regard to reform. There's a lot of positions out there and positioning out there that if we could breathe a little bit, maybe everybody could come to the table and we can get consensus around the community to understand and get to a point where we all agree, how do we continue to grow the system in the United States?
Mm-hmm. How long have there been contracted air traffic control towers and staffs and operations as part of the system?
The contract towers initially have been around since right after the strike in 1981, some of them. They grew as an entity in the mid-90s when 125 FAA control towers were contracted out, very low-level control towers were contracted out into the contract tower world. And now there's about 253, I believe, right now, 252, 253, and NACA represents over 70 of those towers.
Does that provide any lessons learned or indications about how life might work in a fully privatized air traffic control system?
I think it's a little different. Well, actually, it's quite a bit different because those entities are for-profit models. It's a for-profit-driven model. Something that we're opposed to, even though we represent controllers there, and they're safe, safety flying in and out of those airports where they're controlled because the service is stellar by the workforces there. But we were always concerned when money drives the decisions and the bottom, you're running by the bottom line. So that would be different than the proposed legislation from last House of Representatives. That is a not-for-profit similar to NAV Canada. So the funds collected by the users of the system would go back into the system versus to shareholders of any kind.
In our previous segment that we just finished, we just had a general discussion about opportunities in aviation, you know, pilot supply, mechanics, you know, just the growth in the industry. Can you comment on that, the status for, you know, growth in the air traffic control world? And if somebody seeks a career, what's their option?
That's an interesting. We are right now at a 27-year low of certified professional controllers in the FAA. Air traffic controllers, with 3,000 of the 10,000 of them eligible to retire right now. So our staffing is quite concerning and quite critical in some of our very complex facilities. So now's the time for a career in air traffic control if an individual wants to do that or wants to pursue that. And it is a wonderful career in the private sector or in the public sector.
How does somebody get started? What do they need to know?
Well, the FAA, and we partner with the FAA on many issues, and they have made it a little bit challenging to get hired into the occupation as of late, and kind of changed the rules here and there in the last couple years. And there's been a lot of angst from those young professionals that would like to be air traffic controllers. You know, initially, they hired primarily out of the military and our controller training initiatives, about 32 schools that trained the academics of air traffic control in some simulation, and they would have an opportunity to become an air traffic controller. The agency changed that to some degree, and they didn't quite have the same opportunities they've had in the past. We just added language on the FAA reauthorization extension to streamline the hiring process, because while we're at a 27-year low of air traffic controllers, there's no shortage of young professionals that would love to do this job. So we just need to streamline the process and get those individuals into the occupation.
How many controllers are there?
There is 10,600 certified controllers, about 2,000 in training, and again, like I said, that's a 27-year low. There is going to be, as I'm told from the FAA, an all-sources bid that comes out on August 3rd, will last 1 week, and then in September, they are going to have another bid for experienced controllers, experience being 52 weeks out of either the military as a controller or the contract tower program to come into the FAA. So they are focusing on it. We just need to make up some ground.
Do you have a sense of how big the backlog is? You said no shortage of young professionals. How many might there be who would like to start through the pipeline?
So the first year they changed the hiring process was 2014, and 28,000 applied and only 2,200 passed the biographical assessment, which is a concern. And the next year about 18,000 applied in the same bid, more passed the biographical assessment because we did a lot of work with the agency to make that assessment a little bit more robust and better identify the abilities or the aptitude for those that want to become controllers. So that was more of a success. So, you know, about 30,000, I would say, at any given time.
And talk about this week. How are you spending your days this week at AirVenture?
Well, I flew in this morning, I have to say, and we have gone to KidVenture, and we were just over at the forum at the NACA Innovations booth or forum, and talking about ADS-B and the 2020 mandate, and loving the weather. You couldn't have picked a better day for weather. It's not even hot out there.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, I heard. Yes.
And it's not even dry out there, and it really was.
Yeah.
What did I say? It's not even wet out there, and it really was yesterday and the day before. So, yeah, you're right.
Well, for my real job, I'm a flight instructor for one of the airlines, and as a user of air traffic controller services all the time, I'd say thank you for everything that you and your team does.
Well, thank you. They are very proud of the job that they do, and they are professionals every single day to keep you guys safe.
I was listening yesterday to arrivals over the, air to ground. And
sure.
Wow, is that intense. I mean, those folks, they just do a stellar job, the folks who manage traffic in and out of here.
I've often just wanted to sit out on the flight line with a radio and just listen to everything, because it's astounding, you know, how many people they handle, and they do it so well.
The thing that really struck me yesterday is that they were so courteous and positive. A lot of welcome to Oshkosh, a lot of you're doing a great job. keep it in the air, keep it in the air, keep going, keep going. That's great. Thank you so much. I mean, it was dialogue. It wasn't just the work of trying to keep people safe. And so, I mean, dialogue where one party rocks the wings and the other one actually uses words. So,
yeah, you know, that's true.
It was great.
Will you be here for the rest of the week?
Unfortunately, I'm heading to Philadelphia to hear some speeches tonight and tomorrow. As you know, there's
imagine.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
Yes, that's where I'll be heading.
Perfect.
Trish Gilbert, who is Executive Vice President with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for telling the story. It's a good one, and we wish you well.
Thank you.